Plug it. Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
This is KAYT-FM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJO-FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Scripture has been in me since I was a boy, and I stand in awe of this scripture out of all the scriptures in the Bible. When I hear God brag about himself, and I hear God boast in his own power, so that we his children can be totally convinced and confident that he is the power. He doesn't have the power. He is the power. See, now this is where we all have got to believe. Say, he is the power. He didn't have the power. He is the power. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, he is the power.
He is the power.
To have power means that it's got a limitation and that someone gave it to you. Hallelujah. To have something means it's in your possession. Hallelujah. I don't hear you. To have something means it's in your possession. But to be something means it is who you are, your essence. Some of you missed it. To have something means that it is in your possession. Hallelujah. But when you are something, it means that it is the totality of your being. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is the totality of your being. So God does not have power. I think you're getting it now. God does not have power. God is power. Hallelujah. He is power. That means everything about him is power. That means everything he says has power. That means everything he does is empowered. That means that he is omnipotent. He is omnipotent. Omni means all. Potent means power. So when you say God is omnipotent, you're saying God is all power. Somebody holler, God is all power. Not some power, not limited power, not sporadic power. He is and he is in control of all things. His omnipotency makes him omnipresent. Being that he is all power, then he is the power to be all places at one time. He fills all things with his presence. Y'all are not getting this. That means that no matter where you are, getting whatever diagnosis, no matter what sickness has been pronounced over you, no matter where you are in the world, whether you're Tabitha or we're dealing with someone dealing with dementia. I read that. It was one of the posts. Whether you're Denise dealing with cancer, no matter where you are, he is right there. He's not coming. Did you hear me? He's not coming. Come by here, Lord. No, he's not coming. He's never left. He's always been there. Hallelujah. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I take the wings of the morning, fly to the utmost parts of the world, he's there. No matter where I go. If I lay my head down to sleep at night in New York and someone's in Australia, he's there at the same time. not a part of him, all of him. He doesn't share, we don't share his attention. Y'all missed that. We don't share his attention with somebody else that's calling out. He never has to say, hold on, I'll be right there. He never has to put you on hold while he takes care of something else. That's what the omnipotency does. It gives him omnipresence. I hope this is inspiring you to let you know that you're not serving a fly-by-night God. You're not serving a limited deity. Because if he's limited, he's not a deity. My God has got to have and be all power. I can't deal with Zeus, and I can't deal with Hercules, and I can't deal with Zoroaster. I cannot deal with Odin. I cannot deal with Hera. I can't deal with Buddha. I can't deal with Krishna. I can't deal with Allah. I need the omnipotent God. And I got news for you. Not only do I need him, I have the omnipotent God. If God is for me, and that's not just my natural enemy, that's the enemy of sickness. You got to have that faith that can absolutely conquer anything. His omnipotency makes him omnipresent. Everywhere at the same time. I heard somebody online say he was the God of the universe. I said, not so. The universe is too small. He's the God of every verse. The multiverses that we have never seen. There are things that he's created that we have never even known or seen. We're talking about the magnitude of our God. When he said, let there be light, it wasn't just for this universe. That light shone across the darkness throughout all of the continuum called space. I don't hear anybody here. You better let your mind go further than what you see. When he said, let there be, it happened here and everywhere at the same time. Hallelujah. This is the power of our God. The power of our God. There are creations that he has made that we will never know until the end of time. There are multiverses that he sits in control of. This is God. You think these little nine planets just rotating around a dying star, you think that's all that he can do? And remember, he did that just by opening his mouth. He never moved his hand. He just opened up his mouth and said, let there be. What a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Darwin talks about the Big Bang Theory, and Darwin talks about evolution, and all it took was God to say, let there be. He didn't have to take millennials to do this. He just spoke the word, and immediately it is. I didn't say it was. I said, and immediately it is, because what God spoke still is. We are living on what God spoke. We are on a globe twirling and spinning at its pace, and we are still keeping our balance and our gravitational pull. Just because he said this, I don't know how many countless years ago, he said, let there be, and it still is. Terra firma, this earth with the whole entire atmosphere that is life-sustaining, with trees that push out oxygen, that live off of our carbon dioxide. I don't hear anybody here. We are walking, talking, living beings. Hallelujah. Atomically made, under the motion, molecularly structured. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. We are a biological wonder. We function without any source of power. We don't plug in anywhere. We don't need any external source. Every bit of our being, every fiber of our existence is a divine miracle. showing off the power of a limitless God, showing off the power of an omnipotent God. We think, we move, we breathe, we function voluntarily and involuntarily. There are some things we do simply by a thought, and there are some things that happen just because it keeps us going. Our heart involuntarily keeps beating because God says so. Our kidneys and our organs function involuntarily. We don't make them function. They function because God called them to function. And keep us going. You better see the workings of God, the handiwork of God. I'm talking about the omnipotent, sovereign, majestic God. With just the mere synapse in our mind, we can move a finger. With the nerve endings going throughout our whole entire body, we can feel something as small as a hair land on your hand. I don't hear anybody here. Not a whole head of hair. One specific small hair triggers your whole entire body to let you know something. The sensations that go through your, how this cranium, this lump of flesh in the cranium can control thought and memory and taste and smell, and y'all don't hear me. And if they open up the brain, there's no way of them seeing any of that activity. But the tissue in the brain contains thought. It's blowing my mind talking about it. Hallelujah. If a neurosurgeon opened my head up now, they couldn't find thought. They can't find memory. They can find the place where it happens, but they can't find my thoughts. They can't look into my memory, and they can't pull out what I can recall, because that is divinely given. I'm about to run myself. I'm about to run. What a mighty God we serve. He is so wonderful that he made us fearful and wonderful. He is so wonderful. And he is so gracious that he made us fearfully and wonderfully made. And if a God, Atamosha, not if a, if the God most gracious, if the God most glorious, if the God most powerful can do this in this anomaly called a human body. For you medical people, there are things in this body that we still haven't found out yet. That's why they're still practicing medicine. It's called a medical practice. Don't mean to take away your demigodery, you doctors, because sometimes doctors think they have a God complex. They got a God syndrome. They think that power of death and life is in their hands. But I got news for you. God guides your hands. And even if you want to do something wrong, when you're dealing with his children, he is the chief physician. Y'all are making me holler. He is the chief physician. A doctor can make a mistake, but God is flawless. Flawless. Never, Obyasha, never has made a mistake. And I got news, he never will. He corrects mistakes that doctors make. When the doctor scratches his head and says, I can't do nothing else, all I can do is send you home to die. And God turns around and says, that's where I want you to go. Now that you've gone to your extremity, this is my opportunity. The doctor said, die. I said, live. for the voice of God. Because when God whispers, live, he ain't got to holler. All he's got to do is part his lips and say, live. And death got to back up. And right now I see death backing up. And death is backing up empty-handed. If you believe it, put a praise on it. I said death is backing up empty-handed. You gotta look at death and say, it's not my time, and it's not my children's time. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke death. Imagine this, the God of all power giving you power, and you got the power to rebuke death. He said life and death are in the power of your tongue. You got the power to rebuke death. I want you to know that if you hadn't done so by now, many others would have died, including yourself. But you stood even weak in faith and believed that God has the power. You believe that God is the power. And you, in fear sometimes, dealt with situations. You weren't always strong when you rebuked death, but you had enough faith to believe, whatever I bind on earth, whatever I bind on earth is already bound in heaven.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress. Persecuted,
but not forsaken. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father. For it endureth forever, Lord. What a mighty God you are, Father. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for welcoming us into your very presence, my Father, to come in. Eat from the King's table, my Father, and to share with your people the love of God and the kingdom of God, Father. Now, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would take control of this ministry through the power of your Holy Spirit and the power of your word, Father, that you would minister to us, Father, as seen wise unto you, O Lord. That is in always, Father, we are always careful to give you all of the credit, all of the praise, all of the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father, for the glory, the honor, and the praise, and the kingdom is yours, my Father, and we belong to you. So here we are, Father. Now speak to our hearts, Father, and change our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, once again, what a tremendous honor and what a tremendous privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and into your automobiles through your radio broadcast. And like I was praying, just share with y'all, you know, like I always say on this broadcast, the greatest message that ever been told, that's the message that Jesus Christ preached. It's not just the message of Jesus, that's included in it, but as I always say, it's the message that Jesus Christ preached. And that's the gospel that's been hidden for generations. And it hasn't been hidden from us. It's been hidden for us, glory to God. And it's hidden for us for a purpose. Why? For unto you is given to know the secrets and the mysteries and the laws that governs God's kingdom. So you are blessed people. And I don't, like I say, you're not only mighty men and mighty women of the Lord, but you're blessed of the Lord already. And listen, what God didn't bless, ain't a devil in hell can curse. It ain't no demon, it ain't no man, no woman, no hoodoo, no voodoo, no he do, no she do, or he say, or she say. Can't nothing curse you, man, if you blessed of God. And the Bible say, hallelujah. And God blessed them, hallelujah, and told them to be fruitful, productive, multiply, produce a whole lot, replenish, and subdue the earth, master the earth, control the earth. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 115, verse 16, it says that the heavens and the highest heavens belong to God, but the earth he gave to man. Heaven belongs to God, the earth is our territory. Just like God reigned in his territory of heaven, created us to reign in our territory, the earth. Not just to have church. Not just to put on, perform rituals and ceremonies and traditions, you know, and religion. He called us to be kings and queens. King if you're in a male body. Queen if you're in a female body. It simply means a ruler. Whether you're in a male body or a female body, you're a ruler. There's a king in you. There's a queen in you. There's a ruler in all of us. Hallelujah. We got to tap into that. That's the message that Jesus Christ was preaching. But there's a king in you. That's why the Bible says he's the king of kings. There's a Lord in you. That's why the Bible says he's the Lord of lords. And man, you need to hear that and hear that and hear that and hear that over and over and over and over again. Why? Because that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God. And you got faith in whatever you hear a lot. If you hear a lot about what government is doing, what man is doing, what people are doing, what churches are doing, you have faith in that. But boy, do you ever come to the knowledge and hear and hear and hear and hear what God is doing, then you have faith in that. That's why the devil don't ever want you to know the message that Jesus Christ preached. You don't mind you men preaching the message about Jesus, as long as you don't preach the message that he preached. That's the message that's been hid in the graveyard of religion for the last 1,500 years. And the church has lost that message. You know, I say it again, brother. I say the church then lost that message. That's the message that Jesus Christ told us to go and preach. But go and make disciples of all men and teach them what I taught you. What he taught them disciples, he taught them all about the kingdom of God. He taught them, he preached to the multitudes the kingdom of God, and he taught them about himself and how the kingdom of God functions, the functioning principles of the kingdom. Listen, we've been on this radio a long time, for years and years and years and years, doing a live broadcast, you know. And for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, we've been preaching just one message, where the rediscovering the gospel of the kingdom. Rediscovering it. If you got to rediscover something, that means it was discovered once and then it was lost. What we got to do is rediscover. Rediscover what? The gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? That's the message that Jesus Christ preached. Hallelujah. It's just not the message of what Jesus Christ did and who he is, and that's all included in it. But if we're not careful, we get preoccupied with the means, what, or who he is and what he did, and forfeit the end. What's the end? What he said. Hallelujah. Because what he said is more powerful or just as powerful as who he is and what he did. Who he is, that's the Son of the Most High God. What he is, what he did, he redeemed our life from destruction and restored back to us everything that we lost in Adam's disobedience. What he preached? All of the kingdom of hell that was prepared for you and me before the foundation of the world is available to us. And it's available to us not in the sweet by and by, but in the right here and now. And you need to know that. Because in that message, that's where that king in you is. In that message, that's where that queen in you is. In that message, that's where that ruler in you is proclaimed and decreed and declared. And when you begin to hear that, what the gospel, the word gospel is evangelium in the Greek. It simply means good news or glad tidings. And boy, when you hear the good news about that ruler in you, hallelujah, then you stop being ruled and you start ruling. You stop being dictated to and you start doing the dictating. You stop being the tail, you start being the head. It's below and you start being beneath. We'll stop being sick and we'll start being healed. We'll stop trying to get what we already have and start having what's already ours. What's already ours? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us. Prepared for who? For us. When? Before the foundation of the world. And boy, God set it up on the earth in our Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 3, God lost it. And everything, man, all the way up until, boy, I'm talking about the day of Pentecost, from Genesis chapter 3 to the day of Pentecost is a means to one end. And that's to reestablish God's kingdom back on the earth. What's God's kingdom? What God is doing. And his ways of doing what he's doing. And what will be the results of that? We start experiencing more of the kingdom of heaven in our lives here on earth. Just like it is in heaven. Just like what we've been praying all our lives. But our Father, that source and sustainer, which art in heaven, that give you his location where he is. Hallowed be your name. That giving glory and honor and praise and worship and adoration to him and who he is and his word. Then when we get to make our request, the first request is, Lord, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. Where? On earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. That's God's way for our lives. That what he's doing may be manifested in our lives. And that the kingdom of heaven be manifested in our lives. Not just in the sweet by and by. Yes, that's coming too. That's a coming period in human history. When the millennial reign, when Jesus Christ come back and set up a physical kingdom on the earth. But right now, boy, that's a spiritual kingdom that's in the earth. But it's in the hearts of man. The Bible says the kingdom don't come with observation. It's not over there or over here. It's within you. That's where it begins at. It begins on the inside of us. Man, the kingdom of God come and take our residence on the inside of our spirit and our soul, and then relay it to our body, and our body manifesting on the earth, fulfilling God's original plan and purpose and destiny for our life, but that we reign in life. That we rule in life. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, they say, who can open up the book, Revelation chapter 5, and tell us what's really going on? Got a lot of interpretations, man. Some say this, some say that, some preach this, some preach that. And listen, I'm not against what man, God has called mankind to preach. If you got, listen, whatever God has given you to preach, man, that's for you to preach. And man, the hand can't say to the leg, I don't need you, or the leg can't say to the foot, I don't need you. So when the body fitly joined together, man, God's word, man, and instead of comparing speaker board, we begin to allow God, boy, through his fivefold ministry to edify and build us up, man, until we reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. What's a stature? A fixed, predictable image. Fixed, predictable image of what? Of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine you being a statue of Jesus? You fixed. What's the statue? It's fixed and it's predictable. It's set in one place and you can predict what it's going to be. It's going to be there tomorrow. It's going to be there the next day. Because it's predictable. It's set in stone. It's fixed. The Bible says he gives us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Then later on in that chapter, they say, until we all come to the unity of the faith, to a full stature of Christ. Until we be just like him, talk like him, walk like him, act like him, rule like him, reign like him. Hallelujah. Just like him. You know that's what Jesus Christ was, the main thing that he come to show you and I? in his life and through his life. He couldn't show you and I us. He couldn't show you and I who we are. He's the Son of God. That's who you are. You're the Son of God, too. The Bible says he's the firstborn among many brethren. So just like he's the Son of God, he come to show you that you're the Son of God, too. Just like he got all power, boy, I'm talking about all power in heaven, on earth, and even under the earth, that's death, under the earth. Power even over death, mankind's greatest enemy. He come to show you that, so do you. He said, I give you power over all the powers of your enemies, and nothing shall by any means harm you. He come to show you that you can cast out devils. You can lay hands on the sick. You can mend wounds, souls to the kingdom of heaven. He say, boy, listen, the work that I do, shall you do. He didn't just say you can. He say, shall. Shall means most definitely. The work that I do, you most definitely going to do too. As I am, so are you. Just like the Father sent me to redeem mankind, life from destruction, I'm going to send you into all the world and then continue on where I left off at. What? Redeeming mankind's life from destruction and restoring back to him everything that they lost. What they lost? They lost their sovereignty. They lost their dominion. They lost, boy, the Holy Spirit, the divine connection. They lost, boy, the Garden of Eden, the presence of the Most High God. They lost their identity. They lost their potential. All of us. In Adam, Lord, in Jesus Christ, everything that we lost in Adam has been restored back to us. And we need to know what we lost. What you lost? You lost the Holy power of God. That's the ability of God. That's God himself, Lord, in his power, in his ability, in his might, in his awesomeness. Who? The Holy Spirit. That's God in you. Who? The Holy Spirit. But that's God in you. And listen, if God is, listen, in the Old Testament, he was around his people. But in the New Covenant, he's not just around his people, boy, he inside of his people. In the Old Covenant, he couldn't live inside his people no more because of sin. Sin, our sin has separated us from our God. But Jesus Christ come took care of that, glory to God. He come took care of the sin problem. So the sin ain't the problem no more. The problem, man, is a lack of knowledge. The Bible says, boy, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. They don't know who they really are. They don't know, boy, where they really come from. They don't know why they really here. They don't know, boy, what they really can do. And they don't know where we're going to end up at. Most believers believe that they're going to end up, boy, living forever and ever in heaven where God is. That's not where you're going to end up at. You're going to end up, boy, where God, man, intended for you to end up at, on the earth, even if he got to create a new one. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 21, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. What do you mean, coming down, what? To a new earth. And the Bible said, we shall reign on the earth forever. And this is the best part about it. And that the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. Hallelujah. But God was with us, just like he was with Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You hear me say this all the time on this broadcast. Can you imagine what kind of life that was? Can you imagine what kind of life Adam and Eve were living, boy, when they were walking and talking with the God, with God in the presence of the Lord, in the Garden of Eden, unbroken fellowship, walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, a communion, a fellowship. Not a religious rituals and practices and all that, but a relationship. Can you imagine that, boy? A personal encounter with the Lord. A personal relationship with the Most High God. Listen, that's where the blessing is at. That's where the life is at. It's not in religion. It's in that relationship. It's in that communion of the Holy Spirit. It's in that fellowship of the Holy Spirit and around the Word of God. It's in man, you know, being covered in God's love. Hallelujah. And that love, boy, that God has for us, boy, I'm talking about covers a multitude of sins. Glory to God. What do you mean? It covers every last one of your sins. And one thing, boy, I'm persuaded of, boy, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that he displayed in his son, Jesus Christ. What kind of love is that? That even He hung, bled, and died. Well, let me say it in a simple way. While we were yet in our sin, he redeemed our lives from the curse of the law, the curse of sin and death. He redeemed our life. He purchased us back. He paid the price for us. You know, he paid the penalty for our sin. And he didn't just pay the penalty for our sin, man, so that we could be saved and go to church and quit doing this and quit doing that. All that's included in it, but that ain't the purpose. He saved us, man, and cleansed us up for us so that we could come back into the Garden of Eden. But the Holy Spirit can come once again and take up residence on the inside of us, boy. And I'm talking about the divine connection can be reconnected. In Corinthians, the Bible says this, boy, that God has given us a ministry, a reconciliation. What's the ministry of reconciliation? To go into all the world and let the world know that God was in his Son, reconciling the world back unto himself. What do you mean? Joining the world and all mankind, man, back to him. Hooking mankind up back to him. Reconciling man back unto himself. Becoming one with man once again. And boy, when you begin to grow your relationship from that place, from that position, what position and what place you talking about? The presence of the Lord. Ain't talking about the songs we sing. That's all good, Dan, and everything, and stir up your emotions. But I'm talking about the reality of it. The presence of the Lord is here. Because he is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But the most important thing about the presence of the Lord, he's in you. That presence is in you. And as we become more and more conscious of that, more and more aware of that, how you become more and more conscious and more aware of that and have more and more faith in that? By hearing and 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 hearing. How long, brother? Pray out. Holy Ghost. That message. What? The message that Jesus Christ come preach. What do you say? As I am, so are you. The work that I do, so can you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Now go, you say, and make disciples of all men, teaching them everything that I taught you. I heard a little song a long time ago, about 35 years ago. I think it was Marlon Myers who made that song. It said, who's going to tell them Jesus loves them? Who's going to tell them that there's a better way? Who's going to warn them of the things coming on them so God can turn their nice today? Who's going to tell them about the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to tell them it was prepared for them? Who's going to tell them Jesus loved them so God can turn their nights to days? How they going to know unless somebody tell them? That's why God told the disciples, Jesus told the disciples, you go and you make disciples of all men. And you teach them everything that I taught you. And I'll be with you even till the end of the age. What he taught them? He taught them all about the kingdom of heaven. Listen, he didn't have but one message. And the message that he had was the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? The good news about the kingdom. What's the good news about the kingdom? That's your inheritance. And that is available to you right now. And as you come to the knowledge of it and hear it and hear it and hear it, and then you begin to have faith in that, then you begin to exercise that faith in that. Just like you exercise faith in Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin and saving you, man, from a devil's hell, why? Because you've been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing that. So you got faith in that. But boy, you begin to hear, boy, that all of the kingdom of heaven, your inheritance, has been restored back to you. You stop living like mere men and mere women. You stop living and dying like mere men and mere women. And we are best on living, man, the way God intended for us to live. Like I was saying, boy, the book of Revelation chapter 5 say, who can open up this Bible and really tell us what's really going on? You got men, the Muslims say this. You got the Hindus say that. You got the Catholics say this. You got Baptists say this. Presbyterians say this. The Mormons say this. The Jehovah Witness say this. He say that, she say that. But who can tell us what's really going on? And it say, no man, Lord. It say, but one who? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's Jesus. He prevailed, and he can open up the book, and he can tell us what's really going on. Who? Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for a boy and a prophet and everything else. Boy, that's a boy sure word, man. That's the words of Jesus Christ. He can tell us, man, what God's original plan and his original intent and his original desire was for our lives. And he said, because of what he done, he hung, bled, and died. He paid the penalty for our sins. And because of what he done, we have been made, not going to be made, but have been made, that's past tense, kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. That's in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Say that again. Because of what he has done for us, who? Jesus. You know what he done for us. Hung, bled, and died. Because of that, we have been made, not of our, but we have been made unto our God to be what God originally intended for us to be. What? Kings, that's rulers. And priests, what? That's spiritual representatives. A king and a priest. A ruler and a spiritual representative. How you rule? You rule in life by applying spiritual principles. That's where our priesthood come in there. But our authority and our power, hallelujah, is in our kingship. Glory to God. And boy, the devil don't ever want you to know that you're a king. You don't mind you operating as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, bishop, pope, president, senator, governor, religious leader. You know how you operate and all that. As long as, boy, you don't discover that ruler in you, that king in you, that queen in you, as long as you don't begin to start reigning over your circumstances and over our situation and over our symptoms, instead of letting circumstance, situation, symptoms dictate to us and we respond to it like under puppet strength control, we flip the script, man, and we put the circumstance, situation, and symptoms in our life under puppet strength control of the word of God that's in our hearts and in our mouth. And the circumstance, situation, and symptoms stop dictating to us, and we start dictating to it. Sickness and disease stop dictating to us, and we start dictating to it. Sin and shame stop dictating to us, and we start dictating to it. After the man stop dictating to us, and we start dictating to it. What people have done to us that caused us to respond in ways, man, as out of God character, man, stop dictating to us and we start dictating to it. We begin to walk, boy, in the royal law of the kingdom. What's that? The law of love. But we not only, man, love one another, boy, and our brothers and our sisters in the family of God, but we love even our enemies. So we come to the knowledge of something. What? That if they be lost and if they transgressing against us is because the God of this world have blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. Till seeing they see not and hearing they hear not. It'd be like Jesus did, man, on the cross. He say, Father, forgive them. We were talking about his enemies, the one who crucified him. Why? Because they know not what they do. They walk on in darkness and in ignorance, not knowing. Okay? They didn't know their visitation. They don't know who I really am. They think I'm just Mary and Joseph boy, you know. They don't know that I'm the son of the Most High God, that I came from my Father in heaven. And boy, as long as the devil can keep us from the knowledge of that, that's why Hosea say on God's behalf, he say, my people, he talking about the world, he talking about the Christians, us, are being destroyed. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. What's being destroyed? Well, our power, our ability, our purpose, our destiny. Okay. Being destroyed, being robbed from us. How? Because of a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of what? Okay. A lack of knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. I'm going to say this, you know, and I don't know how well it's going to go, but most believers don't know the whole lot about the kingdom of God. But boy, that's changing, because we're on the brink of a global explosion. of the gospel of the kingdom. Listen, it started off like a little bitty mustard seed. It's the smallest seed of them all. But once it's planted, and glory to God, it's been planted, baby, then it grows up to be the biggest tree, and all the birds come flock down in. Let me show you simply what it's saying. But when this gospel of the kingdom begin to be preached, it started off small, 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 like a little bitty mustard seed. But boy, it began to grow. And it began to grow. And it began to grow. And it began to grow. Why? Because it's an everlasting kingdom. And of his governing system, the Bible says there shall be no end. What he came to bring a governing on his shoulder. And they established, boy, the kingdom of God back on earth. And it shall be no end. It started off like a little bitty mustard seed. But it keep on growing. It keep on growing. Why? Because God's counsel is going to stand. God's going to have what he said. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, it's going to come to pass. That's a law in the kingdom. Glory to God. They call it a law of life. Hallelujah. What's the law of life? Boy, that's the word of God. That's the word that have gone forth out of his mouth. It can't be true, boy. It got to accomplish, boy, what he sent it to do. Listen, you know our problem is, I think one of our greatest problems is we don't have faith in the word of God. And listen, if there's anybody we ought to be able to believe, it ought to be God. He's not a man that he should lie. But he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. Well, that's the word of a king. That's the word of our king. That's the word of the Most High God. Maybe you can take that to the base in heaven, man. I'm talking about, boy, and I'm talking about you ain't no billionaire. You a king in there, glory to God. What's a king in there? A king on everything in his domain. All of the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine being the treasures of heaven and how rich heaven is? And all the attributes of heaven and all the resources of heaven and the streets paved with gold. And that's your inheritance. Man, you're a king in there. What's our problem here? You don't know it. You think, man, your king in there status, man, comes from, man, how much money you got in the bank. No, our king in there status comes from, man, your treasures that's stored up in heaven. What heaven? The heaven that's on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You are heir of God. And a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You have an inheritance. God, Jesus Christ, and now listen, all that everything, boy, belongs to Jesus. God gave everything to his son, boy. And let me tell you something, you're a joint heir with him. What Jesus Christ have? All of the kingdom of heaven. What you have, if you're a joint heir, everything that he has, you have too. And not only do you have all of the kingdom of heaven and all his wealth and resources and everything else, but you had a power of attorney. What? To write man, to operate man in his earth, boy, the same way Jesus did. To represent him on the earth. To go, boy, to the courts of heaven, to the kingdom of heaven, as though it was Jesus Christ himself. What do you think you'd be saying when you're in your prayer and you say, in the name of Jesus? You say, Lord, I come to your court, boy, in the power of attorney. I come to your court, boy, as though it was Jesus Christ himself. I come on his behalf. I represent him. He's given me the power of attorney. He's given me the right to use that name. He's saying, whatever I ask the Father in my name, he will do it for you so that your joy might be full. Well, if you ask anything according to his word, that's his name. His Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, his name shall be called the Word of God. Whenever you're talking about the Word, you're talking about, boy, his name. You're talking about Jesus. Whenever you're talking about Jesus or the name of God, you're talking about the Word. They one and the same. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. That's John chapter 1. And the Word was God. And in him, who? The Word was life. I ain't talking about human life or natural life or man of life. I'm talking about, boy, Zoe, the God kind of life. Life the way God lives. And life the way God originally intended for you and I to live. That's the life that Jesus Christ come to bring back to us. Not just a good life on this earth, a prosperous life the way we know it, man, according to our five sense reasonings. Based upon, man, how much gold and silver you have. No, I'm talking about an abundant life. That's superior in quality and superior in quantity. What John 10:10 say? The thief, the devil come to steal that life from you. The thief come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But you say, I am come that you might have life and then more abundantly. What kind of life is that? That's the life of God. Life the way God lives and life the way God intended for you and I to live. Where that life at? It's in his word. In the beginning was what? In the beginning was the word. That word got so much life in it, man, to avoid in the midst of all that darkness. God wanted life, and God spoke. Light be. And baby, when God said light be, light started being. And light been being ever since. But that is, that's the word of the Most High God. You hear me say on this radio broadcast all the time, boy, what the king say, that's what goes. What the king say? Who the king? That's Jesus. In time past, God spoke to us through the prophet. Boy, these last days, he's speaking to us himself. Know what God said, boy, when the Spirit came down upon him, he said, hey, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. But when he went on the mountain of transfiguration, man, they call it the mountain of transfiguration. I call it the mountain of transfer. When Jesus met with men, Moses and Elijah. And boy, a transfer took place up there in the midst of all that light. Boy. Jesus told Moses, say, hey, Mo, the law that you gave the people to live by, I fulfilled it. Elijah, you represent all the prophets. Moses, you represent the law. I didn't come to do away with y'all. I come to fulfill what y'all represent. I come to fulfill the law. I come to fulfill the prophecy. What's the prophecy? That's coming the Messiah. And boy, he's going to fix everything back up, boy. He's going to restore the kingdom of heaven back to the earth. He called it the kingdom of David. And boy, I'm talking about he's going to reestablish God's original plan and purpose and destiny for mankind's life back on the earth. Amen. What did Moses say? Moses said, this is how you ought to live. He gave him the law, the Ten Commandments. Along with the other laws, the Levitical laws. Some say 613. I don't know how many laws it is, man. I ain't going to tell you. It's the word of God, man. But he say, listen, I ain't got to do away with those laws. I come to fulfill those laws. Hey, Moses, I didn't kind of do away with what you established. I come to fulfill that. I come to fulfill that. I come to take it off the stony tablets and put it on the tablet of your heart. I couldn't put it in you so that you can conform to it, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. I come to fulfill it. So in Christ Jesus, the law is fulfilled. Now what we got to do? We got to allow that fulfillment, man, to manifest itself in our lives here on the earth. How? From the inside out. What do you say? Hey, listen, I ain't going to do away. The prophets say I'm coming. Listen, they don't have to prophesy I'm coming no more. I'm here. So, hey, Mo, you've done a good job. You got the law to the people. Elijah, you represent the prophet. Y'all kept telling the people down through generations, down through time, that there's coming the Messiah. Mo, I fulfilled the law. I kept the law. I was tempted on all points, boy, yet without sin. And the Messiah that the prophets prophesied that was coming, I'm here. So I take it from here, boys. Hallelujah. You've done a good job. I take your rest, and I take it from here. Hallelujah. And boy, from that time forward, boy, I'm talking about he continued to go about doing good, destroying the works of the devil, healing all those who was oppressed of the devil, man, and restoring God's kingdom back up on the earth. He wasn't having no church. He wasn't, man, operating in religion. He was operating, man, in dominion. He was operating in, man, a relationship. He was operating in an intimate, man, relationship, man, with the Most High God. He was operating, man, in his earthly door with God himself. And it was God himself in the person of his son. And that's God's original intent. He want to manifest his glory in the earth through his family of sons. He want to show, man, the world and the earth and everything that's in it and the angels and everything else the glory of God. The full expression of God. And his plan of doing that was through a family of sons called mankind. That's why he created you, to manifest his glory in the earth. He said, I ain't going to share my glory with another. In other words, that don't mean he ain't going to share glory with you. That means you're the only one that he created the boy to share his glory. What's glory? That's the full expression of something, the fullness of something. The boy, what he created us to do, to show forth boy the character and the nature of our Father in heaven, to manifest God in the earth, to display and to show boy God, his character, his nature, his likeness, how he functions. How he functions? He functions by faith. What do you mean faith? Boy, he believes what he said. He say what he believes. And boy, when he speaks, things happen. It's called the word of faith. Hallelujah. What's faith? Faith is a noun word, man. Faith is what you have. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, I think it is, he says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So everybody, man, God gives to everybody faith. What Ephesians chapter 2 say, for by grace are we saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. But the grace that saves us and the faith to appropriate that grace into our life, all that's gifts from God. I'm talking about what God is doing. He's the Savior. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the provider. He's the one that is working the earth today through the person of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's been at work in the earth, man, from the beginning of time all the way to a man for all eternity. And his counsel is going to stand. They're going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. Why? Because that's what he said. That's the word of life. What he said. Thank God for what he said, man, through the prophets and everything else. And that's good and everything else. But boy, let me tell you something. He's speaking to us now himself through his son. And that same son that he's speaking through to mankind is the same son that live on the inside of you. And the same Jesus that took up residence on the inside of you and I. Lord, pray for us that we might be like him. Know what he said? He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. The work that I do, that's my Father working in and through me. But you come to show us, I come to show you that the Father want to do the same thing in you that he's doing in me. I come to let you know that just like the Father sent me and the work that he sent me to do and the power and the ability that he put on the inside of me to accomplish that work, same thing that's on the inside of you. Just like, boy, I finished my course and ran my race and kept the faith. And when it was all said and done, I say, it is finished. Yeah. Well, the work that you sent me to do, Paul, it is finished. Hallelujah. Then, boy, he went on back to heaven, man. Before he went to hell, boy, he breathed upon them disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What do you mean? Receive ye what? Everything that you lost in Adam. What's the Holy Ghost? That's a divine connection between heaven and earth, and God and man. Say that again. That's the divine connection between heaven and earth and God and man. Who that is, boy, that's the Holy Ghost. You say, receive ye, boy, the Holy Ghost. The same spirit that enabled me, the same spirit that was upon me, that man empowered me and enabled me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal a brokenhearted, to set at liberty all those who are bound, and to proclaim to every man and every woman that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the same spirit that's upon me that enabled me to do all the things that I do, to lay my life down and take it back up again. That's the same spirit, Lord Jesus, said that I'm going to send back to you. When I go up to heaven, and boy, I'm talking about the righteous demands of a just God is met, and the penalty for sin is paid in full. And even though your sins like scarlet, they wash white as snow. Now the Holy Spirit, the divine connection between God and man and heaven and earth, can once again come take up residence on the inside of you, in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your emotions, in your attitude, in your walk, in your talk, in your living. It might be the same thing, same spirit that was upon me.